The title of my sermon today is God's Holy Spirit Works in You. We know that when we're baptized, that we've been given God's Holy Spirit. And this Spirit is just not something that's idle, that lays around, but it actually works in us, and it's there for us to use. Let's turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, and verse 14 to start out with, to just remind ourselves that we do have God's Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands at baptism. When we committed our lives to this way of life and accepted Jesus Christ as our sacrifice, we were buried in a baptism in the grave. And then when we came up, we were clean, without sin, and the elder or pastor, whomever we were baptized, laid hands on us and asked that the Holy Spirit would be imparted to us. Acts, the 8th chapter and verse 14. Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them and that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we see at baptism that we receive this Spirit, a Spirit from God. And the Scriptures also tell us that this Spirit works in us. It's just not idle. The Spirit that we have works in us. Let's go to Philippians, the 2nd chapter and verse 2, and see this. We have a tool that actually works with us, that helps us. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, there we go, chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We see that God works in us. The Spirit that we've been given is something that is working in us. It's a part of us. It's not there to just sit on a shelf and not be used. It's there. It's working in us. It imparts several things to our life. God works through this, his Holy Spirit. Let's go now to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Go back one book. The book of Ephesians, and let's turn to verse 14. 3rd chapter and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. So we see that this Spirit has been given. It strengthens us and helps us individually. Continue on in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We see that this Spirit that God has given us at our baptism, when we had hands laid on us, strengthens us. It gives us knowledge. It's there, and it's power. It's God's power that is in us, and it works in us as we use it, as we let it to be used in our life. The power itself comes from God and His Spirit. It continually guides our way of life. This Spirit dwells in us. It works to increase our faith, our love, our knowledge of God's way of life. It is a very powerful Spirit that God has given us. It's His way of life, how He conducts His life, His way, His will. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, because we have that Spirit in us, the same one that Jesus Christ had when He was here on this earth. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul's talking to Timothy here. Says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." The Spirit that we have does have power, and it does have love, and it also gives us a sound mind, a mind that can see the way that we're to go, to the way we are to live our lives with God in us. Verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." The Holy Spirit is in us. It dwells there. It has power. And it gives us many attributes of God the Father. That Spirit is there and it's working in us. Let's now turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. I'm trying to emphasize that this Spirit that we have is working in us. It's not idle. It's not dormant. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So we see that this Spirit is working in us. God has given it to work in us, to help us. This past week, Mr. Mickelson was on his way out of town. There was an individual that wanted to be visited. He called me and asked if I wouldn't go by and see this individual, which I did. And I was talking to this man who was looking to change his way of life. And he was looking to commit his way or his life to God, and he was looking for God to enter him and it would take care of all of his problems. And wouldn't that be nice? Once you're baptized, you have the laying on of hands, your problems are solved. That Spirit's been given to you, and it's going to take care of you. You'll understand. You'll go God's way. You'll never be tempted to do anything else. Well, that realistically is not how God's Spirit works in us. It's given to us, but we have to use it in conjunction with His will to overcome the ways of this world. It's just not something that does it for us. It's there for us to use. It's a tool. that helps us overcome the ways of this world. I think I moved one page. Yep, I moved one page. I tried to make two. So, okay. God is working in us to be a son of God, to be in his kingdom. That kingdom Jesus Christ will bring at his return. And the way that we are going to be there is by using that spirit that God has given us. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we see that we're a son of God once we have that Spirit in us, that is working in us. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So it takes a combination of God's Spirit and our spirit. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He had God's Holy Spirit in him. He was perfect. He kept the law. We have that same spirit in us. It is one of power. It is one that helps us to change, to overcome this world. Paul mentioned that that spirit worked in him. It helped him in his ministry. Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 28, to see the example that Paul used. Paul understood that it wasn't on his merits that he went to the Gentiles, but it was through God the Father, and he was able to be a tool in his hands. Colossians 1 and verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So we see that Paul understood that he was going to the Gentiles for God's purpose, and that God was using him, and he was receiving God's Spirit, that Holy Spirit, and that was working through him to be able to accomplish what he had set out to do. Let's continue on now to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. So we see that Paul had that same spirit, and it was working in him. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Paul saw in the Thessalonians that that spirit that they had been given was working in them to bring them around to where they looked and represented Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be for. It's there to help us be a son of God, to be an example to others. It's interesting, as I've been in construction most of my life, there are individuals in construction that pride themselves on their language, and I don't mean the clean language, I mean the way that they conduct themselves with their language of using words. And it's just interesting that a lot of these individuals that have worked for me through the years, that once they understand or they see you in a light and understand that you don't use those words in your vocabulary or your conversations, that they, out of respect, don't use that language in front of you. They might slip once in a while, but the majority of the time, they clean up their act to also impress you. We are examples. We're examples to this world. And it's God's Spirit is in us and works in us and helps us to overcome the things that this world does. We set forth a different example, and they see that. And that's God's Spirit working in us. God's Spirit is powerful. An example of that is that that Spirit that is in us will eventually raise us from the dead. It's a powerful Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 13. Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, and if you notice as we've been going through these scriptures, there's two things that have been reoccurring in each one of these scriptures, is love and faith. That's part of God working in us. It gives us that. It helps us to see that. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Again, the Spirit gives us knowledge of his way and who God is. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That same power, that same Spirit that is in us, God knows who we are. We're part of his sonship. We're part of his family. And when Christ returns, that Spirit in us is going to raise us up, whether we're in the grave or if we're alive at that time of his return. This Spirit that we have leads us in God's way of life. And God will look after us. We see the ways of this world, and we understand that we're not to be like that. That's what that Spirit helps us see and imparts. We seek a higher calling. Let's take a look at the ways of this world. Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Because there's works of men, and we're supposed to be seeking and following and growing in the way of God, the way of God's way of life. Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So God's Spirit, that Spirit that is in us, is against the ways of man, the lusts of the flesh. they're warring together against each other. And that spirit that we've been given is supposed to help us overcome those things, that we can put those things out of our lives with that spirit that works in us. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Before we came into God's family, before we committed our lives to Him and was baptized and received His Holy Spirit, our life was going down that path. Now, some are better than others. I mean, you have people that strive to follow God's law. But without the Holy Spirit, it makes it hard. They don't have the full understanding. But we're traveling that path, or would have continued to travel that path and engage in the lusts of this world. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we see that we are to follow God's way. And that's what His Spirit helps us to do on a continual basis. That Spirit that leads us, we see the ways of this world and understand we are not to be like it. We seek a higher calling. There is a war that is going on inside of us. That war is between the ways of this world and the ways of God. We see that. We understand that. His Holy Spirit helps us to understand that we have to come out of this world, that we have to put those things away, that we don't walk that direction. Let's go to Colossians 1 and verse 9. Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 9. We were here earlier only in verse 28. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That Spirit that is in us increases our knowledge. It helps us to remind us to look toward God the Father, to keep Him in our life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now, the second chapter. God's Spirit that comes into us reveals many things. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verse 10. But God has revealed to them, to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? We understand the ways of man, because that's the spirit we were born with. continuing on, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So unless we receive that Spirit that works in us, we cannot understand the ways of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which is man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For us to understand spiritual things, we have to have that Holy Spirit in us, that works in us, to give us that understanding. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We understand God's way of life. We understand his purpose for us. We understand through the holy days and his plan better than what this world does. They don't understand what's held out for them in the future. They might have bits and pieces, but they don't have the full picture. We gain that by the fact that we have God's Holy Spirit in us that works in us to help us to give that us that sound mind. That Spirit sets us apart from this world. We are different. It is powerful. And truly, we don't understand the full potential that that Spirit does have in us, or the faith to use it. The apostles who were with Christ were continually amazed at what he was able to do. Let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. In verse 19. Now here the apostles had tried to throw out a demon from an individual, and they were unable to. So they came to Jesus Christ after Christ had thrown out the demon, and they asked, why could we not do that? We came in your name. Why could we not do it? And Jesus tells them in verse 19, that then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Talking about the demon. Verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Isn't that interesting? Here's Jesus Christ, who's telling his apostles that they have the ability, with the power of God, with that Spirit that they've been given, or would be given, that they would be able to move a mountain if they had the faith, if they understood and could use it properly. That's pretty powerful. And if you think about it, we've all been called. We've all have that same Spirit in us that Christ had. There's more potential with that Spirit that is in us, working in us, than we truly understand. It takes a lot of belief and a lot of faith. Dropping down to verse 21, it says, however, this kind of faith or power or use of the Spirit does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, you want to increase the power of the Spirit that is in you? You do it through prayer and fasting. We can have more. It's there. It's potential. Why do you think Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he took on the devil? This very reason. So he would be strengthened through that Holy Spirit. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he's an example for us too. And he used that Spirit the same spirit that we have in us, it's Christ in us, we have that same spirit, and he used it mightily because he was able to look and understand God's way. And he started out his ministry with 40 days of prayer and fasting and looking to God to increase that spirit that was in him. And then he took on Satan the devil, and then he went on into his ministry and performed mighty, mighty works through that spirit that was in him. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians verse 1. We have that same spirit in us. Or else Jesus Christ wouldn't have said it would be possible to move a mountain. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter and verse 3. Oops, 1 Thessalonians doesn't work. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffer. At this point, Paul was bragging about the Thessalonians and that they were using this spirit that God had been given to them, and he could see it in their actions. And he was writing them and telling them they were building the faith and the love toward one another, and it was evident that God's Spirit was working in them. We have that same Spirit. But you know what kills that Spirit, as was mentioned earlier in Matthew there, was their unbelief. The apostles didn't believe. And that also can kill our spirit that is inside of us. Let's go to Mark, the 6th chapter. We want to make sure that that spirit that God has given us, that Jesus Christ has given us, is there. And that we don't put out the potential. Mark 6 and verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went away to the villages in a circuit teaching. Even Jesus Christ, because of the people's unbelief, could not perform mighty deeds among them. Unbelief can kill the Spirit of God inside of us. We need to protect ourselves that we don't become a person who has unbelief in God the Father and what He's able to do. That can kill the Holy Spirit. It can take it out of our lives. Mark 3 and verse 28. We can see that we can lose this, what we have been given, the Holy Spirit. We need to pay attention and make sure that we continue with it, that it stays inside of us, that we use it. Mark 3 and verse 28. Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. So mankind, as he goes through his life, says a lot of things, uses God's name in vain, does a lot of things. And they can be forgiven of that, except for one thing. In verse 29, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. That spirit that is inside of us, we must never condemn or make fun of. That spirit is a part of God that he does not tolerate being blasphemed against. There's also another way, and that's to walk away from what we've been called to. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of this age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. People that walk away from this way of life after they've accepted Christ, they lose out that Holy Spirit, that spirit that will raise you up at the resurrection, the first resurrection. It's gone. It's not a part of you any longer. So we need to be using that spirit that has been given to us. We need to make sure that we don't, through unbelief, strife, turn our backs on it and walk away. We must keep God and His Spirit in our life. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's remember that God's Holy Spirit is very powerful. I don't know how many of you, most of you here, might remember the prop that Mr. Imes used during the days or the day of Pentecost, where he brought up a small lamp of one of his daughters. And he had a light bulb into it, and he showed that we needed to be connected to the power source to be able to get that light to work. I'd like to use the visual. You saw the physical one with him, so hopefully you can picture this visually for me. I didn't have quite as nice a looking lamp as he did, so. But you know, that lamp has a bulb in it, and that's what creates the light. God's Spirit, God's power, can illuminate that light. Just look at the stars, the brightness of the stars. You know, as we use that Spirit, we have the potential to put a 40-watt light bulb in there. What's that going to do? In a dark room, it's going to put some light in there. But you know, we can use more of that spirit that God has given us, that's inside of us, that works inside of us. it's there. That potential's there. We could have 100 watt. We could have a 300 or a 500 or maybe a halogen. You know, that power is not just hooked to a plug-in in the wall. It goes to a substation. It goes to around here would probably be Cooley Dam. And all that power is coming out in large volumes to run cities. If you look at it, God's power as electricity, if we use that as an example, when you go back to the source, which is unlimited, you can continue to see how much power there is. That's why Christ said, you could move mountains if you had the faith. If you understood the power of God's Spirit that is in you and how to use it properly. Continuing on in verse 11, he encourages to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And here again, we're at war with the way of man versus the way of God. Continuing on, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the templet or breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to stand to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That Spirit that we have that works in us is an armor. It's an armor against the ways of this world, which we are at war with. That Spirit that is inside of us, that we've been given, that we have, works with us to be able to conquer this world and its ways. God's Spirit has been given to us. We can use it. We can use more of that power that is endless from God the Father. He's holding up this universe with that power. He's doing all things that we can see physically and provide these things, and He's able to do more. When His kingdom comes, when Christ returns to this earth, we're going to see more of the right way to do things and understand when we have full understanding of Him and His Spirit and His way. Let's close now with Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That Spirit that is in us, God will never leave us. It's there to work His will in us. But we have to use that, and we have to realize that that is a powerful tool that we have. And we can increase it through prayer and fasting, following His way, looking at His knowledge, and always seeking Him.